7 o'clock in San Francisco and the West Coast, in time for Minds Over Matter. Dana Rodriguez, Lori Fisher, and Jerry Nachman will match wits with listeners on the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Our telephone number is 415-841-4134 with your answers and questions tonight on Minds Over Matter.
Wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
Ladies and gentlemen, your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Kevin, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you don't mind the rain too much, so we hope you are indoors and can settle back for an hour and give us some time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so of course we are encouraging your participation. Our lines are open right now. It's a great time to call in if you have a question or if you'd like to wait a few minutes with an answer. The number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134. We'll be taking your questions and answers on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. Again, that's 415-841-4134. I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter. That's mindsovermatter, one word, at yahoo.com. Feel free to email us anytime. We don't read them during the show, but over the course of the week, it's always great to hear from our listeners out there if you have any thoughts or suggestions or criticisms. And again, that's mindsovermatter at yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world. I will be listening from London next week, so hopefully, and that is at kalw.org. That's kalw.org, and if you'd like a podcast of the show, it should be available soon after tonight at kalw.org, along with some of our older fine classic shows.
And all the great shows.
Yes, all the greats. And anyway, so once more, that's 415-841-4134. If you can indulge me just for a second, I want to wish happy birthday to my partner, Greg. His birthday is today, and happy birthday to you, Greg. I love you. Yes, I do.
Oh, so, very nice. Happy birthday, Greg.
Happy birthday, Greg. So we're going to start with a round of introductions, and here's the first. Jerry Nachman expects to score high this evening in his best event, the Triple Klutz.
Very appropriate.
Thank you very much, Dana. After a long day executing hack-on flips,
yes,
and triple lutzes, and still having time to locate the hog line, Lori Fisher is back in the studio right now, but looking forward to the Beatles' Ed Sullivan's 50th anniversary tribute in about 57 minutes.
A lot of information.
There's a lot going on.
Well, there's a lot going on, and our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is not worried about the water outside. But inside the studio, we might need some flood insurance thanks to a spilled glass of water.
So.
And the triple triple klutz.
That's
thing.
Right. Yeah. By the way, the hack-on, is that named after the King of Norway, the hack-on, H-A-H-A-A-K-O-N?
It is.
K-O-N?
Yeah. Well, maybe his descendant who invented that thing. But yeah,
interesting.
What is the hog line?
It is in the, it's a thing you do in curling. It's the back line of the curling thing. So these are all very,
you're
very into
this, aren't you?
Yeah. No, not at all.
Interesting.
I like the language. I don't like the events.
We'll begin with Triple Klutz, Jerry Nachman.
Thank you. Okay, what do these films have in common? Lincoln, Hugo, Dreamgirls, Brokeback Mountain, and The Aviator. What do these films have in common? Lincoln, Hugo, Dreamgirls, Brokeback Mountain, and The Aviator.
Well, you want to give us any hint? They have... At least four of them have something based in reality. Is it
about those? No.
Okay.
Not about the content.
Oh.
Were they all made digitally?
No. Not that I know. Maybe.
Is it about something in the cast or the producers or directors?
No.
So it's not a personnel question.
No.
Is it an awards question?
Sort of.
Once more, there's just the list once more.
Yeah, Lincoln, Hugo, Dreamgirls, Brokeback Mountain, The Aviator.
They all have in common.
Anything to do with the writing of them?
No.
Okay.
So you said it's nothing to do with the content?
No.
and sort of something to do with awards, but vaguely.
No, not so vaguely.
Not so vaguely.
Yeah. Did they win? Well, no, because some of these did not win Best Picture.
No, but they, like Lincoln was written by Tony Kushner, who won a Pulitzer. And did Annie Prue wrote the story Brokeback Mountain? Am I getting close in there?
Nope.
Okay.
I think just the writers.
All right.
Okay.
Leave it out.
Good question.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, my turn. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, we're all familiar with the phrase city and county of San Francisco, where the boundary lines for the county of San Francisco are synonymous with the boundary lines with the city of San Francisco, but Alameda County and Alameda City, not the same. San Mateo, same. Santa Clara, same. Santa Cruz, etc. What city and county are similar to San Francisco in that the city and the county have the identical boundaries?
You mean in the Bay Area or in California or where?
The United States.
United States.
Oh.
Is there only one other in the whole country?
As far as I know.
Is it well known?
It's not in New York.
It's well known. Yeah, heck yeah.
All right.
It's Indianapolis.
That's it?
Yeah, how'd you
Am I
that?
Allowed to ring the bell? Can I ring the bell?
If you have one, sure. Pretty good.
I'm not sure exactly how. This particular question has not come up before, but there was something about Indianapolis. Some superlative fact about Indianapolis that made me think of it.
I never heard of Indianapolis County. Very good.
Thank you.
No, my gosh.
And, Lori, it's your turn.
All right. Well, it's a big week for the kinds of things we do with the Olympics and the Beatles anniversary, but mine's about the Tonight Show, the passing of the Tonight Show.
All right.
So I have three questions about the early Tonight Show. The first one was Steve Allen. Who is his announcer? And I want to know, on his very first show, and who were his first two guests? And same thing with Jack Parr, only his announcer. So 1954 is the first Steve Allen show, the Tonight Show. Who was his announcer, and who were his first guests, both really well-known? And the Jack Parr show, I didn't know this, who was his first announcer?
I don't know if this was Allen's first announcer, but his longtime announcer was Gene Rayburn.
That's correct, from the very first show.
Okay. What else did you want to know about that
Jack
show?
Was schooling you, wasn't it?
Not that, yeah. Jack Parr. Okay. So I want to know, on that first Tonight Show with Steve Allen, who were his first two guests? And I want to know who Jack Parr's first announcer was, and it was before...
Hugh Downs?
Before Hugh Downs.
Is there a logic to this? I mean, is like the answer, is it make...
Oh, no. I mean, it's a well-known guy, it's a well-known voice particularly, and the logic of, in 1954 for the first guest, they were...
Was it Don Pardo by any chance?
No, that's a really good guess.
First two guests, wow, yeah. God, you got maybe narrow it down a little bit.
Okay, one's an athlete. Okay, who was sitting in the audience, and they introduced him and then came on stage, and then one was kind of a well-known TV star of the time.
Well, this is for Parr?
This is for Steve Allen. So Parr's announcer, and then Steve Allen's first guest. And
Joe
athlete.
Lewis.
Good guess, but not him.
All right. Nothing about Jerry Lester and Dagmar?
They were later.
No, they were earlier.
So the first guest on Allen was an athlete, and who was the other
one? And a TV sitcom kind of guy.
At the time.
At the time. I'm pretty sure at the time.
54.
Jeez.
Boy.
You know, he's a good guy for here. All right. So the first announcer for Jack Parr, which was 1957, and the first two guests on Steve Allen's Tonight Show in 1954, athlete and a TV sitcom.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
It's good for me. So I wasn't there last week. I was watching the Super Bowl at a friend's house.
Okay.
I got a couple questions. One, it combines both the Olympics and the Beatles first appearance at the Ed Sullivan Show.
All right.
What future Olympic gold medalist speech gave the seeing the audience in the Ed Sullivan Show had the Beatles first appearance?
I didn't hear that at all.
So what Olympic speed skater was in the audience during the Beatles?
What Olympic gold medalist speed skater was seen in the audience on the Ed Sullivan Show had the Beatles' first appearance?
So 1960.
Speed skater.
Yeah.
Speed skater.
Figure skater, maybe. I could take it.
Henny, yeah.
How about Eric Heiden?
No, I'll give you a clue.
He's
Irish.
A baby.
Irish-American.
Irish-American speed skater.
In that era, who knew?
Patty O'Shea.
Not well known, I don't
Patty
think.
Patio furniture.
I don't know. That's a great question.
Well, I know.
There was a gag photograph of him when Ed Sullivan backstage at show him cutting Ringo's hair.
So did Ed Sullivan introduce this person?
Yes, he did. He's on that. In fact, it's on the DVD.
Is he still well known?
So he was a speed skater even then. He was famous.
No, this was before. This was a couple of weeks before he went to the Winter Olympics in Innsbruck.
Oh, God. Okay.
God. 64.
No idea.
Give up?
Yeah.
Sarah McDermott.
Don't remember him.
Don't.
Mm-hmm. Don't know him. No.
Nope.
Don't know him.
He won the U.S. It's only a gold medal in the 1964 Winter Olympics in Innsbruck, Austria.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what went on with book guys, but there's a picture of him with him and Sullivan, and it shows Ringo's seated. It shows him Terry McDermott cutting Ringo's hair.
a bunch of the skaters had been killed in a plane accident in 1961, and that's why we didn't. A number of the ice skaters were killed in a plane accident in 1961.
But not him.
No, not him. Yeah.
I went to school with a guy named Terry McDermott.
Well, what's the other question?
Here's a question. You probably read this a couple of weeks ago, but what Law and Order figure is the result over a controversy of having a building named after him?
What Law and Order figure?
Is the result over...
Elliot Ness.
Yes, give yourself a bell.
Good job.
What's the controversy?
The story was that he really didn't... He wasn't as heroic a figure as has been painted.
As Robert Stack.
Yeah, he had to... He didn't do all that...
Yeah.
The stuff he's attributed. I mean, he was kind of in charge, but he himself didn't do very much.
All right.
That's the controversy.
Good question.
Anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. Give me a couple questions. I found this fact out this week. It's very weird. Who was the only president baptized while in office?
Oh, my.
Who was the only president baptized? I will say he was baptized into the Presbyterian.
So he was president.
Domination.
He was baptized.
Yes.
Did he convert then? Is that part of the deal?
Well, I mean, he didn't convert from another. Yeah. He was raised in a Christian household, but he was baptized into the Presbyterian.
20th century?
Yes.
Woodrow Wilson?
No. No.
Harding?
No.
Trying to think. Okay. So who would be a Presbyterian?
Almost all of them.
Well, there were a lot of Presbyterians.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think. Who might have declared himself?
Who was the only president who was baptized while in office?
Wow.
Okay. Don't know.
Coolidge.
All right. No, not Coolidge.
Okay.
And second question. I was reading a list of all the plays that won the Pulitzer Prize for Drama. And it was very interesting to me that out of all those plays that were made into films, no man has ever won an Academy Award from the movie made from those plays. But there have been two women who have won Best Actress. So, once more, out of all the Pulitzer Prize plays, all the dramas that have won the Pulitzer Prize, only two women have won Best Actress from the film versions of those.
How about Vivian Leigh and Streetcar?
Vivian Leigh and Streetcar, yes. Very good. That's one of them.
And who's the other one?
I haven't gotten the other
one. We haven't gotten the other one yet.
You never get the other one. Vivian Leigh and Streetcar named as other.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
And there's one other.
Yeah, it's a well-known play and movie, right?
Very much so. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So once more, out of all the Pulitzer Prize dramas, the film versions of them, only two women have won Best Actress.
How about Katharine Hepburn in Long Day's Journey Tonight?
No, she didn't win Best Actress for that.
That's a good guess.
That is a good guess.
Yeah.
So Laurie got Vivian Leigh in Streetcar Named Desire. What is the other one?
Is it it's a real well-known play?
Yes, and a well-known actress.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
And it is not as far back as Streetcar.
Okay.
Yeah. So, just so you understand.
Last 20 years?
It's not as far back as Streetcar.
Okay. So that was like 54, right?
Streetcar was 48, and the film version was 51, I think.
Yeah, I was thinking of the film.
All right.
How about Kathy Bates in Night Mother?
That's a good guess, but she didn't win the Academy Award for that.
Okay. I don't think it won the Pulitzer either.
It did.
It did?
Yeah.
Yeah, won the Pulitzer.
It did.
Yeah. Pulitzer.
All right.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter.
Good evening on this rainy evening. This is David Price-Weldy.
Hi, David. I haven't heard from you in a little while.
I've been listening. I just haven't been near a phone. I've been taking walks and listening to all your dulcet tones.
Oh, well, thank you.
thank you. don't really have a question. I thought maybe
just a compliment.
The Indianapolis question might have been Chicago and Cook County, but of course it couldn't have. But my question was, I was watching a fairly decent movie, Francis Ha, and when the credits rolled, Scott Rudin as producer came up. I Wikipedia'd him, and I don't know if you know his work, but it's enormous.
He's won a lot of Academy Awards.
It's worth seeing the films that he has had his hands on. It has first rights to a lot of things, and he has a reputation that parallels Weinstein's angriness, or he goes through 50 studio assistants a year. It's amazing the movies that he's made.
Mm.
Anyway, thanks. I'll keep listening and continue.
We'll keep up the dulcet tones.
Yes. Thank you, David.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Linda Nelserito.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. I have a kind of rainy day type subject for you, movie dogs. So, as you probably know, Rin Tin Tin would have received the Best Actor Academy Award the first year that they held them by vote, but he was overruled. And it went to Emil Jannings instead.
Speciesist.
Right.
So,
that's
an outrage.
So, yes. So, I have a list of six movie dogs, and I'd like you to give me certain information about them, mainly the movie that they were in, but perhaps some other information as well. So, why don't I just go through the list first, and then you can give me the information. Okay. Some of these are old movies, and some are not. Okay, the first one, the real name of this dog was Skippy, and I want to know what movie he was in, the real name.
Well, the movie name is not Skippy?
His real name is Skippy.
What was his movie name?
Is that Asta?
Yes, but you're supposed to wait.
Oh,
well, there's a lot of them.
Well, I didn't know from his real name, you know.
I also want to know if you would happen to know how much money he earned for doing that.
Well, no, I would not know that.
Okay, I'm going to go through the whole list. Okay.
Right.
Okay, the second one, the name of the character was Bruiser, and what I want is his real name, the movie, and the breed.
We won't know his real name. Nobody would know that but the owners and you.
Is Bruiser the pit bull and the R gang?
No.
Okay.
Okay. The next one, I don't know the real name, but I'd like to know the movie of these two dogs, Get Off the Rug and You Too, and the breed. Okay. Fourth one, Uggy, the real name of the dog.
Uggy.
And Uggy is the name of the actual name of the dog. I'd like to know his character's name.
Well, how are we supposed to know their real names?
Yeah,
you
it's
guys
hard.
Know everything, don't you?
No, not that. Not that far.
I have two more.
Okay.
Terry, that's the name, real name of the dog. What character did he or she play? What movie? And the final one is Baxter. What was the real name of the dog? What was the movie? So, Skippy, you got Asta, and that was, of course, which movie?
The Thin Man.
Right. Okay, so Bruiser, what movie was that?
I'm going to have blanks on
that. We don't know any of these, I'm sure.
If you're going by the dog's real name, if it had been the name of the dog in the movie, then
that's
maybe
hard enough.
That's pretty hard. But Uggy, so these are all movies. I almost wanted to say
that
dog in Frasier, but...
No, these are all movies.
Yeah.
What was the dog in the black and white movie about movies? What was that dog's name? It was Uggy or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, that's the artist.
That's the artist.
Oh, the artist. Uh-huh. Oh, very good.
The artist.
Oh, so we got one.
Right.
There you go.
I got one, but that was his real his name in the movie.
Was it
Uggy?
His real name is Jack, the name of the dog.
Oh, okay. All right.
Jack Russell Terrier.
All right.
Okay, so I have a couple more that...
You better just tell us, okay? I don't think we're going
to get off the rug and you two, anybody?
No.
Merrily We Live, Great Danes.
Oh, all right.
They're great. Okay, now Terry played a very important role in the movies, made $125 a week.
Oh.
That Terry was the real name. What was the name of the character?
Lassie.
No.
Was this a series of movies or one movie?
One movie.
No idea.
Benji.
Very important movie.
Benji.
No.
Beethoven.
A very important movie.
Beethoven. Yeah. I don't know.
Made $125 a week.
Is this the dog in Gone with the Wind?
No. But you're right in the right time period.
Toto in Wizard of Oz.
That's right.
Oh,
Toto.
There you go.
And it should be pointed out that Terry was a she.
Okay.
All right.
And then Baxter. What movie was
that? No idea.
No idea.
Okay. Anchorman. Ron Burgundy had a big role.
All right.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And next call.
Hello.
Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. It's Hayes in San Francisco.
Hi.
One question that just occurred to me. How do you know the name of a dog? I mean...
It's probably in the credits.
That's what we said. There's no way anybody would know that. Except the owner.
No, I think it is in the credits, as in Asta played by
whatever it was.
And Linda.
How many dog credits have you read in your life?
No, but I mean, seriously, though, the dog might have its own name.
No, I know, yeah.
We don't know.
An answer maybe about the movie question. Is it the nominations for both Best Picture and Leading Actor, and they only won one of them?
Say it again. I'm sorry.
The movie question about the ones that went Brokeback Mountain and all.
Oh, that was your question, Jerry.
Sure.
Yes. The Lincoln Hugo.
Yeah. What was your answer?
It was nominated for both Best Picture and Leading Actor, but it only won one of them.
No. You're kind of dancing around it. That's in the right area, but that's not the answer.
Okay. Another thing that occurred to me, another head of state, I don't know the answer to the one about the American president, but another head of state had a somewhat change of religion after retiring. Do you know who that was?
So not necessarily an American, in other words.
Definitely not an American.
Okay, definitely not.
So he retired and then converted?
Yeah.
What did he...
It's a sort of a conversion.
Sort of a conversion?
Yeah.
Sort of a conversion.
What does that mean, sort of a conversion?
Well, when I tell you the answer, you'll know.
Well, you better tell us the answer then.
Okay, it was Tony Blair. He went from being...
Oh, he became Catholic. Right.
There you go.
Yeah. So, I mean, a conversion from Christianity to Christianity.
Right.
And then one that I don't know the answer to, but occurred to me while I was waiting, in the Olympics, why is it called curling? Why do they name it that? Maybe someone else
will know. That's a good question.
Might have something to do with that hog line, but I don't know.
Right.
We'll leave it out.
Guys, your show's great as usual.
Oh, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
And Jerry, it's your turn.
All right. European Union asked residents across Europe about their perception of corruption in their country. Which country scored the, quote, highest, or lowest, I guess?
I mean, they saw their
Their country who had the most,
and it has
the most corrupt
country in the European Union.
Yeah,
and they saw it as the most corrupt.
Yes,
right. So their self perception was, we live in a corrupt country.
Okay. Exactly.
All right.
Well, Italy.
I'm thinking
Italy or Spain.
You go. Italy was actually second.
Okay.
All right.
Close second, but Spain is not in the top three.
Not in the top three.
Is this a surprise? Would you say?
No.
How about Greece?
Greece is number one. 99%.
No, that's not 99%.
Italy was 97%, and the UK was third, that surprised me, with 64%.
The United States, they didn't have a similar
point. The U.S. is, Simon Pure, of course. Yeah.
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 Didn't place
99%, that's wow. Yeah.
Talking about cynical countries.
Here's another question.
I think Americans are cynical. Who was the first Hispanic woman to win a Kennedy Center honor? One guess.
Are those given for entertainers?
Yeah, they're given for arts.
Yeah,
arts.
So how about Rita Moreno?
No.
Oh. Before her? Or
No clues on this one.
Hispanic woman.
Carmen Miranda.
Katie Giraldo. Victoria de Los Angeles.
Who's
opera
that?
Opera singer.
No. I'll give you one.
Can you tell us what area she's in?
No, I cannot. She's in the arts.
She's in the arts.
In the arts.
She's American. They only go to Americans?
Does she have an Hispanic name, identifiable Hispanic name?
I can't really tell you that either.
Do those awards only go to American citizens?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I believe so.
I think so. Yeah.
Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
All right. Leave it up.
Okay. Who was the first Hispanic woman to win the Kennedy Center honor?
And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman, and from Diablo Valley College, teacher Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And if you'd like to join us with a question or answer, the number is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I've been listening for a while, so I have a couple guesses. You didn't answer all the dog questions, right? Just some of them?
I thought you got them all except Bruiser.
I can tell you, Bruiser, that's the one. Well, I don't know, like you said, I don't know the real name, but but Bruiser was the dog in Legally Blonde, and he was a Chihuahua.
Oh, all right.
Little Bruiser. Oh,
that was his stage name.
You know.
Yeah, okay. You're right.
But I don't know his real name. And by the way, I do read dog credits and everything, but I don't remember him. I have a question. By the way, I have another guess about the Kennedy Awards. Did it happen to be Lupe Ontiveros?
Who?
Lupe Ontiveros?
No.
Okay, but my question is, and this may be easy for you, so I'll keep it kind of general. What performer in the last century, the 20th century, had a nickname of La Stupenda?
La Stupenda?
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds very familiar.
Oh, I'm glad you don't know it right away. If you don't know it, I can give you hints, but I was keeping it very general.
Is it a Hispanic performer? Performer?
No.
Okay.
Is it somebody who was on Broadway?
No.
No? Okay.
Somebody
it's not a Mexican. It's not a Mexican wrestler, no.
Somebody in vaudeville?
Nope.
All right, give us a hint.
Okay. It is a musician. Want me to give you a little more?
Yes.
The person is not from America originally. Well, not at all. Not
originally.
But internationally known. Internationally known.
Right. And you said it's not a singer?
It is, well, he's a musician, and since you said that, yes, it is a singer. The person's a singer, and they're not from America.
Maria Callas.
No, you're getting warmer.
Getting warmer. Opera singer.
Oh, opera singer.
I'm guessing.
Opera singer, not from America, but who performed in America.
Oh, yeah, all over the world.
Okay.
This person's extremely well-known, in my opinion, was the greatest singer of the last century.
Oh.
Leontine Price.
Good guess. Predates her a little, became famous a little before her.
Joan Sutherland?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And she absolutely deserves that name. Just go listen to her, everybody. Go listen to her.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
Lori was one of Steve Allen's first guests. The athlete was Rocky Marciano?
No. Another good guess with Joe Louis. I'll give you a wrong sport.
Yeah. Okay.
Was not a boxer.
Huh. Okay. It's your turn, Lee.
Okay. This is the exact 50.
George Mikan.
There's a good guess. So this is the exact 50th anniversary of the Beatles being on Ed Sullivan. It was February 9th, 1964. So I know I've asked this question, but it's my favorite all-time question.
Okay.
So who else appeared on the show that night who was going to be a future pop singer? Did not appear as a pop singer.
Well, I know Frank Gorshin was on.
Yeah.
That comedy team of McCall and Brill and McCall.
Okay, so I have a couple others. So
Marty Brill and Mitzi McCall.
Yeah. So who was going to be a future pop singer but was on that night in a different role, not being a pop singer?
Oh, not as a pop singer. I know Georgia Brown.
Right. Oh, he sang with Georgia Brown. That's the key.
Oh, I know. The guy plays, he's in the Monkees. So,
yeah.
He played the Artful Dodger, and he became a monkey.
Davy Jones.
Davy Jones appeared on that stage.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, so here's a couple other first night questions.
Okay.
After the Beatles, what was the first commercial? What product was it? But it's kind of apt, given the reaction. Ed Sullivan read a telegram, a congratulatory telegram for the Beatles. Kind of a surprise. Who sent the telegram?
Elvis.
Yeah. Very good.
I have a chapter in my book about the Sullivan
then
show.
You recruit.
Yeah, I should have been recruited.
Yeah, okay. Well, then, you know, and then the last one is, they showed the Beatles, and they each had their name under them, but only one Beatle had something in addition to his name with his little caption. What was that about? It was of interest to the audience in general who was screaming. So it said all their names, but one person had another caption.
Like Paul something?
Yes, like McCartney. Paul something. Yeah, okay. But it wasn't McCartney. And
was it Ringo?
It wasn't Ringo, and it wasn't Paul.
George Harrison?
It wasn't George.
John Lennon?
Yeah, so it was a piece of information that people would have wanted to know about him.
I don't know.
So we're looking for that. The commercial that followed the Beatles, which turned out to be apt, and you got Davy Jones and you got Elvis. I got some stuff.
Was the commercial something like Raid?
Something, was it Raid? It wasn't like Raid.
Yes, Dan,
but it was
good.
I'll give you this hint. Given the reaction of some parents to what they saw on TV, it was apropos.
That's right.
What I would say.
Tessie O'Shea was also on that show.
Yeah, well, yeah. Tessie O'Shea was on that show.
Yeah. That's about as trivial as
And Frank Ocean did an impression of Ronald Reagan as a future politician. I read that. I thought that was interesting.
He claimed when he went to the show and saw all these cheering people outside, he thought they were for him.
Good luck with that. And, all right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Well, hi, good evening. I think I have an answer for the question you asked earlier about the person that would get an Academy Award for a movie that was made from a book?
No. I'll just repeat the question for you. Of all the dramas that won the Pulitzer Prize and that were made into movies, only two women have won Best Actress for the film version of those dramas.
Was it Anne Bancroft for The Miracle Worker?
It was not Anne Bancroft for The Miracle
Good
Worker.
Guess.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Was it Meryl Streep for Doubt?
No.
She didn't win.
She didn't win for that. All right.
Meryl Streep from Sophie's Choice.
No.
That was not a play.
You're right. Okay.
And if it were, it didn't win the Pulitzer Prize.
All right. So I was looking at the best-selling novels of each decade of the 20th century. And I picked the 1930s because, frankly, after the 30s, there's a pretty steep decline in quality. You go down to the 60s and Jonathan Livingston Seagull and crap like that. So I picked the 30s because the quality was really fairly high of the best popular, best-selling novels. So there are seven I'm looking for. So these are the seven best-selling novels of the 1930s. And I picked out the seven because I picked out one for 1930, and then for 1931 and 32 was the same book. For 1933 and 1934 was the same book. 1935, an individual book. 36 and 37, the same book. 38, one book, and 39, another. But they're all very well known. With one possible exception, they're all extremely well known books.
And still being read, maybe?
Some of them, a couple of them, yeah.
So The Grapes of Wrath should be one of them.
The Grapes of Wrath is 1939.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give me that one.
That's good.
Main Street.
No, that's the 20s.
Oh.
But is Sinclair Lewis on the list?
Sinclair Lewis is not on the list. He has passed his basic prime by the 30s.
Really?
Well, in terms of having a lot of bestsellers anyway. So these are the seven best-selling novels of the 1930s in the United States. The Grapes of Wrath is one. What are the others?
All right, let me think here. That's a good one to leap out there, too. I'm going to think for a second.
Great Gatsby.
That's in the 20s.
That's 20s, too.
Yeah, it's 24, I think.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
30s.
Oh, how about For Whom the Bell Tolls?
That's 1940.
Oh,
that came out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Farewell to Arms, then?
No, that's in the 20s.
Really?
Yeah, that's the late 20s.
Okay, I thought that was 36 or 37.
No,
okay.
But much earlier.
All right. So we're in the right track with Hemingway?
No Hemingway.
No Hemingway.
No.
And no Sinclair Lewis?
No Sinclair Lewis.
Any more Steinbeck?
No.
Okay.
And so again,
you can't go home again.
Oh.
No, Thomas Wolfe.
That's a good guy.
These are
all men, I assume.
No.
Oh
no.
Okay.
They're not
so
all men.
Is Edna Ferber? No, that's too early.
Yes,
for her.
There is Edna Ferber. A novel on her.
So is it So Big or Giant?
No.
What's her big book then?
So Big is in the 20s, and Giant is in the 50s.
Showboat.
No.
Mm-hmm. So what else did Edna Ferber write? And those are the two I. Those are the two.
Saratoga Trunk.
No, that's the 40s too.
So she's the only woman. no. on the list?
She's not the only woman.
Oh, there's more. Okay, I made a bad assumption. Yeah. Sorry, audience. Okay.
Forever Amber.
As a matter of fact, there are three women on the list.
Oh.
Forever Amber.
No, that's the 40s. Again, these are the seven best-selling novels in the United States from the 1930s. So far, we have The Grapes of Wrath. What are the others?
They all American?
Yes, they are all American. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. We are a little past halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Jerry, what do you have?
Okay, what do these films have in common? Lincoln, Hugo, Dreamgirls, Brokeback Mountain, and The Aviator. And who was the first Hispanic woman to win a Kennedy Center honor?
I have the very first Tonight Show, Steve Allen's Tonight Show in 1954. Who were his first two guests? One was an athlete who was not a boxer, and one was a TV sitcom guy. And who was Jack Parr in 1957? He started the Tonight Show. Who was his announcer? And then the Beatles, 50 years ago tonight, the caption for John Lennon gave a piece of biographical information. What was it? And what was the first commercial? What product was it that followed the Beatles?
Did it say he's married?
Yes. It said, sorry, girls, he's married.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good. Okay.
Was one of the athletes Mantle or DiMaggio?
It wasn't, but you're right. You're
okay.
Right in the strike zone.
Okay.
Just shift teams. You move one team over. It wasn't the Yankee. Who's the biggest star in New York who wasn't a Yankee in 1954?
Jackie Robinson.
The Brooklyn Dodgers?
No, still wrong. Wrong team still.
Giants?
Yes.
Okay. Bobby Thompson?
No. Bigger than Bobby Thompson.
Bigger? Nobody's bigger
than Bobby. Yeah, in 1954, somebody was bigger than that.
Willie Mays?
Yes. It was Willie Mays, yeah. Well, it was in September, and they had already clinched going to the World. He was about to make the catch, that famous backwards catch.
Yeah, all right.
So we got Willie Mays. We're looking for the sitcom guy and Jack Parr's announcer.
All right. And so who was the only president, the only U.S. president who was baptized while in office? The only U.S. president baptized while in office. And it is a 20th century president, by the way. And of all the Pulitzer Prize dramas that were made into films, the only best actor, there have been two best actress winners. So of all the Pulitzer Prize dramas that were made into films, the film versions have had two best, have resulted in two best actress winners. The one in 1948, The Streetcar Named Desire, which was made into a film in 1951, Vivien Leigh, and there's another more current one. And I have a list of the seven best-selling novels of the 1930s. So far, we have The Grapes of Wrath. They're all very well-known books with one possible
exception. I have another. It's got to be Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind, yes. Yeah. Was the best-selling book in both 1936 and 1937.
Okay.
Good.
Was one of the actresses in The Color Purple?
No.
Not a play. That would have won a Pulitzer Prize.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, the key is the play.
Forgive me, everybody.
Right. Yeah, you have another hint on the play? Want to give us anything?
Play.
What kind of hint can I give you? No, I'll wait.
Okay.
A few minutes. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Lisa in Kensington.
Hi, Lisa.
I've got some guesses and a question. For the play, you said more recent, but I was going to guess Liz Taylor for Virginia Woolf.
That's a good guess.
That's a great guess.
But no, that didn't win the Pulitzer Prize.
Oh, it didn't?
Okay,
I don't think so.
How about Katharine Hepburn for Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, then?
That was not a play on Broadway that won the Pulitzer Prize.
Okay. How about Betty Davis and Little Foxes?
That's quite a good guess, but Betty Davis did not win the Best Actress for that.
And I don't think it won the Pulitzer for Best Play.
Maybe not.
Okay. So for the Kennedy Center, how about Cheetah Rivera?
You got it.
Very good.
I did? Oh, my gosh. That's great.
Cheetah Rivera.
I have one novel guess.
All right.
A best-selling 30s novel. How about Lady Chatterley's Lover?
Oh, that's a good guess, but no, not that.
They're all American authors, you said.
Yeah, they all are. Well, I believe they're all Americans, yes.
Okay. I guess that's it for me.
Thank you very much.
Were all the books turned into movies?
Yes, they were.
Okay.
Yes, they were, definitely. I'll see if I can give you a hint with that. Irene, I'll give you some of the people that were in these movies. The 1930s Irene Dunne. The next is Paul Muni and Frederick March and Earl Flynn.
Are they all together? Are these different movies?
And Jane Wyman.
So those are five different movies, right?
Five different movies.
Irene Dunne, is that I Remember Mama?
No.
No? That wasn't the best one.
That's
Paul
60s,
Muni.
I think.
Frederick March.
Well, I mean, the movie could have come years after or yeah. the book was published.
Who's the one after Frederick March?
Earl Flynn. Yes, Errol Flynn. I shouldn't say Earl. And then Jane Wyman, the last one that's left out.
Captain Blood.
No.
That was a bestseller, I think.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is this I?
Who is you?
Oh, thank you. I think I know the president who was baptized in office.
Yes.
Dwight Eisenhower?
You're right.
Wow.
Dwight Eisenhower.
My God.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm surprised.
Very good. He was raised as in a Seventh-day Adventist family, and then he was baptized as Presbyterian when he became president.
I don't know about the background, but I do remember my family talking about his baptism when he was president.
Right. Wow. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yes, Dwight Eisenhower was the only president baptized while in office. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, guys, it's Hayes again. While I was waiting, obviously, three of the questions that I had the answers to went by. But another one, though, the commercial during the thing when the Beatles played, it wasn't Head and Shoulders by any chance, was it?
It was not Head and Shoulders.
Yeah, but that would have been perfect, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yes. It would have been very perfect, yes. Very yeah. yeah. Better All than right. my answer.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, which player has won the most MVP awards in his sport? Excuse me. Which player has won the most MVP awards in his sport?
So, of every sport in the universe,
yeah.
who has won the most MVPs?
Well,
in that
major
sport.
Yeah.
Okay. So it. Do you want to give me the number?
Is it 9?
Okay.
Is it Gordie Howe?
No.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a major sport. So is it, I don't think it's Michael Jordan, is it? That's too, I don't think, Barry Bonds won 7, so it's not, I don't think, it's Bonds?
Bonds is second.
Oh, he's second, oh. Okay.
Okay.
Is it, then it's not baseball, is it? Or is it?
I'm not telling you.
All right. That's good. Wilt Chamberlain.
No.
All right. Could be baseball.
Yeah.
Or basketball.
Yeah, boy, that's a lot, though. They don't have long careers, you know.
Huh.
But we're in the right category of that. It's that level of sport. It's not, it's not curling or something.
No, it's not. Major sports.
Yeah.
So,
all right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
I have a question for you tonight about film directors.
Mm-hmm.
As names of 5 directors, I want you to tell me what they have in common.
Ooh.
About their work. First one is Terrence Young, Richard Fleischman.
Fleischer?
Fleischer, sorry.
All right.
Fleischer. Robert Altman, Stanley Kubrick, and David Lean.
So, and it's something about the work that they've produced or directed.
They all started as editors, didn't they?
Could be. Not what I'm looking for.
Is it have to do with one particular film they made?
Yes.
So there's something that links those films.
Yes.
Want to give us a hint?
It's in the title.
Oh, so they all have a something in the title in common.
Yes.
I see. Terrence.
Did they all?
Terrence Young did a bunch of the Bond films. Richard Fleischer.
Didn't he do Patton?
No. That was Franklin Schaffner.
Okay.
Robert Altman. Stanley
David
Kubrick.
Lane. Yeah. So there's something about the titles of their films.
Yes.
They all have the same word in the title?
Yes, they all start with the same word.
Oh.
And it's not the or a or an.
No. Okay. Let's see.
No.
MASH. Okay. They all don't start with MASH, do they?
Stanley Kubrick.
2001.
Yeah.
No. That's a good question.
Can you give me any kind of hint?
Well, it's a title.
Well, that's a pretty good hint he's given us.
It's a title. In the title.
Yeah. He said the first word is the same in every title.
Yeah.
Okay. Far?
No.
It's Doctor.
Yes.
There you go.
Doctor.
Oh,
Dr. Shivago,
Doctor
Strange Love.
Right.
Fill in the rest.
Doctor No.
Doctor No.
Doctor No, very good.
What's Fleischer's?
Ooh, two boy.
Who's Altman's? Oh, Doctor Who?
Help us get Altman's. Caller.
Oh, yeah.
Is he still there?
Yeah, yeah.
Which one was the Altman film with Doctor?
Dr. T and the Women.
Oh.
Oh, gosh. That's God. Richard Gere.
Very obscure. And now the Fleischer one we're missing. How about Dr. Kilgore?
Oh, wait a minute. Dr. No.
Pull it out.
Does there Robert Mitchum in it?
No.
He's
in Animals. Think Animals.
Oh, Dr. Doolittle.
Yes.
Ah, yes.
Very good.
All right.
Good
That's
job,
a good man. Question.
Good job. Thank you.
Good night.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. 415-841-4134. Lori, I think it's your turn.
All right. Olympics. Okay, the greatest number of years between winter gold medals, Olympic gold medals, is 20. Two men have done it. What sports do you think they were in?
You mean they won Olympic medals 20 years apart?
They did. Which two sports were they? And then I'll give you this one too. The
well-known people.
They're not well-known people. John Heaton and Richard Torriani are the people. But I want to know what sports it occurred in. I didn't expect anybody to know the people, but I want you to guess the sports. So 20 years.
So they're
apart.
Two different sports.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the United States has held the Winter Olympics four times. What were the four cities, or if there are fewer than four cities?
Lake Placid.
That's right.
And
Salt Lake City.
That's right.
Yeah.
Vancouver?
Vancouver's not United States.
No, Sun Valley.
Not Sun Valley.
Not Sun Valley.
Squaw Valley.
Sorry.
And then one was repeated. One had held it twice, of the three you've mentioned.
Mike Placid.
Yep, very good.
Oh,
okay.
Right.
So we're left with 20 years separates the greatest number of years between men winning gold medals in the Winter Olympics. Two different sports.
Can you give us the names of the guys, even though we don't know them?
John Heaton and Richard Torriani.
Is it something like the luge?
The luge is one of them.
Okay. It'd have to be something where you weren't, like, it wouldn't be like cross-country skiing, because that's, you know, you can't do that 20 years apart. You know, it's too much energy.
Well, the luge is a great guess. The other one will surprise you for just the reason you said.
Really?
You give yourself a bell.
Cross-country skiing.
No.
Okay.
So we're looking for...
I said that already.
Yeah. Richard Torriani won two gold medals 20 years apart. What were they?
All right.
And we can throw in where was the first Winter Olympics if you want, but I think people will know that easily.
It was in France.
It was.
Chamonix?
What year?
24.
Very good. Olympics, huh?
I know more about Olympics than I know about football.
Yeah. We're still looking for the MVP one.
Yeah. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. I have a correction. You said that Indianapolis is a city and county with the same border?
No, I guessed that Indianapolis was a city and county with the same border. And he said I was right.
You were not right.
Okay.
Indianapolis is the county seat of Marion County.
So we're back to the drawing board.
I happen to know, because I've been there, that Denver is the other one.
Okay.
Oh. Denver is the only city in Denver County, huh?
That is all.
Oh, wow.
And
good job.
I think that's the only other one in the country.
That's hard to believe in a way. There's zillions of counties.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. It's just
don't know.
Seems hard to believe.
Well, we appreciate the correction.
That's nice.
Sure.
We like
to
be all right.
Thanks a lot.
Is the MVP Wayne Gretzky?
Yes.
There you go. I got that because of your Gordie Howe.
Yeah, okay.
Whew. I like to think I paved the way for you.
You just put it on a tee for me.
Kareem Jabbar, 6 in basketball.
Good, because that's the only other hockey player I know, Wayne Gretzky, basically.
You don't know Bobby Orr?
Oh, yeah, it's true. And who was that Lemieux? Not Lemieux. The guy with the French name? Oh, well. Anyway. Okay.
These novel questions. These are good. Those are bugging me.
All right. What is the longest best-selling book by an American author?
Meaning most years on the New York Times bestseller list?
Yeah. What is the longest book that has sold the most copies by an American author?
Oh, not like 800 pages.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So what is the longest, book? The lengthiest book that has sold the most copies by an American author?
Well, there's two things.
Yeah.
Right?
But they merge.
they merge.
So it is the best-selling book. Oh, let's see. It is the longest book that is also the best-selling book. So in other words, you understand what I'm getting at here?
The longest best-selling book.
Yes. Yes.
It wasn't on the list.
Not on the list that long. No.
It might have appeared one week. It had the most pages
in it that sold the most copies.
At any given time in history.
In terms of a list of bestsellers.
So like Gone with the Wind would be the kind of thing it might be. That's probably not
all right. Let me try to get this.
Anybody got it.
All right.
Well, I didn't get it.
Let me put it this way. Yes. What is the best-selling book written by an American author over 1,000 pages?
Okay. Is it the first Harry Potter book?
No.
It's not American, though.
Those are not over 1,000 pages.
Ooh.
It seems like it.
Stephen King? Didn't he write 1,000, The Stand or something?
Mm-hmm.
No?
Who's that?
Stephen King. He writes a long list.
So what's the best-selling book in American publishing history over 1,000 pages?
Okay. That's the key. 1,000 pages?
Yes.
All right. And do you want to, was it in the 30s?
No.
All right.
No,
those books This is a contemporary book, I'm fairly really sure.
It's a single volume book.
Yeah, and we know it. It's a well-known book.
Oh, yeah, you know it. Yeah.
One volume, 1,000 pages.
Over 1,000 pages.
Yeah. Michener, one of those guys?
Yeah, it seems like most of his books went over 1,000 pages, but it wasn't Michener.
Okay.
And
longer than Michener.
yeah, I know. It wouldn't seem like it. I shouldn't badmouth Michener. He wrote some good books.
He did.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
The movies in common.
Jerry, that's you.
Yes.
Maybe they had all the same Oscar nominations, the number of Oscar nominations.
That's part of it. That's half the answer.
Okay. Well, maybe
not the most interesting half.
So they had the same number.
Not the same number, but they had the most in their year.
In their year, they had the most.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe I'm helping somebody else. I thought San Francisco was its own city and county.
It is.
You said that. That was the other one.
The caller's question was, what is the only other city in the U.S. that is the same?
Okay. I guess I wasn't paying attention. Okay, now what...
I do that a lot.
Well, you're like my students, so I'm very used to it. Yeah.
So how about these books that are the 30s?
The best-selling, the seven best-selling novels of the 1930s, they all were made into movies.
They were all. Is Anthony Adverse made then?
Yes, that's a very... Harvey Allen, that's 1933, 1934.
And then The Good Earth?
Very good. That's 1931, 1932.
And I couldn't have done it without the help of Joshua, but basically Cimarron for Irene Dunne.
Cimarron is, yes.
Oh, yeah, that's Edna Ferber.
Very good.
Okay, wow. I'm through.
All right.
That's good.
Now
we're one of the actors in Anthony Adverse?
That's Frederick March.
Okay.
So we're looking Cimarron was Irene Dunne.
We're looking for the Paul Muni and the Errol
Flynn. No, Paul Muni was The Good Earth.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just the Errol Flynn
extravaganza. Another convincing Asian portrayal. Yeah.
They died with their boots on.
Yes.
That's not it, huh?
No.
All right.
I guess Victor Sen Young was not available, so they went with Paul Muni. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed. How are you?
Good.
There's only one city worldwide that extends in two continents. In which one?
Istanbul.
Very good. You're very quick on this one. Okay. There is one capital city and three towns in the U.S. named after the planet Mars. Do you know which capital city?
After who? I'm sorry.
The planet Mars.
Oh.
Yeah. So which capital city named? In their own language. So it is a bit...
Oh.
Okay. I asked it before. It's a very famous city.
And it's named after Mars?
After the planet Mars.
The planet Mars. And it's a capital, it's a state capital.
No, it's a world capital.
World capital, named after Mars.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, oh.
It's language, as you said.
In their own language.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I'll go with Cairo.
Cairo it is.
There you go.
Oh, gosh. We should have got that.
Or Utah.
There are three towns in the U.S. also named after Planet Mars in different states. So I'll give you one of them. One of them, California. There is Mars, California. There is two others.
Named with the word Mars?
With a town named Mars.
Mars Town?
There is Mars in California. There is another two towns named Mars.
Is one in Pennsylvania?
Oh, you mean the candy company.
Very good.
That's named after the candy company.
Well, the candy company's named
Mars and Mars.
No, that's the family name, Mars.
Oh, is that right?
Look down south.
Okay.
The last one.
Down
south, close by the Mexican border.
Texas.
Texas it is.
There you go.
Thank you, guys.
Texas was named after Mars?
No, there's a Mars, Texas.
Yes.
Thanks, Ed.
There's a Paris, Texas.
I need the whole state.
And next call. Hi, your minds of a matter.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question for you guys to answer.
Okay.
Who, other than Pegasus, was born from Medusa when Perseus slew her?
Cool.
And what was his nickname?
Okay, we know it was a he then.
So who was Medusa's other kid besides... who's Pegasus' brother?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And his nickname.
And his nickname.
Was this a demigod or wait a minute.
His mother was Medusa and his father was Poseidon, but I'm not really sure other than that.
Okay.
Pauline is the eighth on the Greek mythology.
It's not Proteus, is it?
No.
Did this person have any rule over any particular thing?
There's not very many myths about him, so I'm not sure on that.
Okay.
The son of Medusa and Poseidon. That would be a powerful...
I didn't know they were...
I didn't know they... I never knew they were an item.
I'm woefully uninformed about this. I'm afraid we don't know, and I'm sorry to say.
Really?
Yes, I know, it's hard to believe.
A real note of disappointment in you.
I can see where
it's a shock.
We've let you down all
somebody else
badly.
As an earlier caller said, I thought you guys knew everything.
Shut off the radios.
Yeah, I'll give you the answer if you want.
Okay, please do.
It's Chrysaor.
Who?
Can you spell it for us?
Chrysaor, I think.
Never
heard of this person.
Never heard of Chrysaor.
Interesting.
Yeah, his nickname was the Golden Sword.
Wow. Well, thank you for knowing a lot more than we do on this.
I have to thank Rick Riordan for that.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Lived under the shadow of Pegasus his whole life.
All right. One more call, and we'll quit. Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter.
Fred from West Virginia.
Hi.
Hey.
First of all, I'd like to say congratulations to you all for getting rain. It's a great accomplishment.
I just advanced.
Couldn't have done it without me.
Jerry's responsible.
And second of all, I think the answer to Laura's question was that, wasn't it a headache medication?
It was.
After the Beatles' first...
Oh.
Yeah, which one?
The one with the hammer?
Might have been the hammer.
Anacin.
Bayer aspirin?
It was Anacin. Very good.
Oh, Anacin, very good.
Fred and Jerry, good questions.
And one quick question.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is a 50-50 question. What continent is Sochi, Russia in?
I'll go with Europe.
It's in Europe.
That's wrong, Asia. No, it's on the line. That's another borderline area.
It's really in both?
It's not
sure?
Caucasus Mountains is the divide, and it's right there. That's where they're skiing.
Huh.
So I guess it depends on which side of the mountain you go on.
That's true.
They probably ski into both.
Well, thank you very much. We have to move it on out here.
Hi, Fred.
All right, thanks a lot. All right, time to clean up very quickly.
These films have one thing in common. Lincoln, Hugo, Dreamgirls, Brokeback Mountain, and The Aviator. All of them had the most nominations of their year, but failed to win Best Picture.
Okay. Oh.
And is that it for you? Jerry, is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay,
Lord. Fred and Jerry got Anacin. So Steve Allen's first guest besides Willie Mays was Wally Cox, Mr. Peepers.
Yeah,
and Jack Parr's announcer at his very first show was Franklin Pangborn. Remember him?
Oh, yeah. I think I've seen film of that.
I've never seen that.
And then you got the Beatles question. It's almost time for the Beatles special.
All right. Pulitzer, of all the films made from Pulitzer Prize drama plays, the only two women that won Academy Awards from them, Vivian Leigh and Streetcar Named Desire, and Jessica Tandy for Driving Miss Daisy, 1980.
Right.
The seven best-selling novels of the 1930s, The Cimarron, The Good Earth, Anthony Adverse, Green Light, that was the one with Errol Flynn, Gone with the Wind, The Yearling, 1938, and The Grapes of Wrath. If we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our thanks to Jerry Nachman and Laurie Fisher. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and, of course, thanks to Kevin Vance. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call, and have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Bye-bye.
You ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.